Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.
It's February 9th, 2016, and this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth, coming to you live from Lupin Lodge in the Santa Cruz Mountains of California, where clothing is optional, but the truth is always naked. And I'm Errol Strider.
And I am Rochelle Alicia Strider. I forgot who I was for a
Get
second.
Right.
We welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and what to make of it, sprinkled with laughter, good music, and always a few surprises.
Our time together tonight is sponsored by Go Raw, 100% raw food that not only tastes good, but it's great for you. And our co-sponsor, Universe Spirit.
Alerting the world to climate destabilization and what we can do about it.
We'll be back later on to tell you more about our sponsors and the great work they're doing and the great quality they're adding to life.
Duh.
Tonight is all about, well, duh. Duh is the focus of our program. And why is that, Rochelle?
Because it's obvious.
Duh. I read a line or heard a line once that said, the beginning of wisdom is a firm grasp of the obvious.
Duh.
And as a bona fide beginner in the wisdom sphere, I consider myself to be that. I'm happy to start with what I would call the distinctly evident, the duh.
But what is obvious?
That's a good question. I'm going to take a crack at this. What is obvious? It's so apparent.
Good.
So in your face, so undeniable. But then it raises the other question. Based upon what? Your perceptions? Your thoughts about it? How it impacts you? Can there really be a true duh?
I love the fact that we can take something that takes two words, like that's obvious, and turn it into three letters. Duh.
Do you know how many word definitions there were for the word duh, like apparent and right on and clear? Bunches more of them.
Duh was really in the dictionary.
No, that's not correct, what I just said. No, none of that is true. Those are all synonyms for the word obvious. That was the word that came to mind. But let's just kind of accept the fact that what comes at us in your face is obvious, is a duh, without getting into, well, what's really real and all of that.
Oh, but that's so much fun.
And that could lead to several duhs.
I'm willing to take your journey for a little while, then you can take mine.
Well, let's start with a duh. Every week, we end our show with resistance is
what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Yeah. Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Now, you'd think that would be a duh.
Duh.
But for most people, resistance is a way of life because it saves their little butts.
So it's a novice, a duh wannabe, then.
It becomes obvious when you begin to experience that resistance is painful. I mean, that it adds to the pain and it hurts longer. When you begin to realize that, then that description of what you're going through is a duh. But until you reach that point, it's not obvious. It's normal. Maybe that's better Well, of course, why wouldn't you resist this and this and this and this?
Duh.
See? Not the duh.
Definitely a duh, because it's coming at you and it looks mean and it might hurt and probably will hurt. Keep it away.
Duh. That which we close our show with and leads to so much of our own personal work, which is non-resistance, is not obvious except to those who have experienced how much it hurts, resistance.
So as we expand and grow in our life, there are more and more does, actually. So we're accumulating does as we go, wouldn't you say? And each duh
with
is
you,
like,
if you accumulate too many does, you'll start selling it on the internet.
Why would you say that? I don't sell things on the internet.
If you have too many of them, you have to get rid of them.
That's true. So it's not an obvious duh, but what makes you think it's true? Let's go back to that.
Me?
Yeah, resistance. If you add it to pain, it lasts longer.
I've experienced it. I've experienced how it becomes more painful. And when I don't resist it, when I put my arms around it and embrace it, it gets less hurty. It gets less painful. It gets less intense. The intensity of the experience and my feelings around it start to dissipate when I don't resist it. And the other thing that happens that's really marvelous is that when I don't resist it, I know what to do.
Hmm.
So in other words, if a big, well, not a bear, because I think I would be eaten too quickly to have to go through anything. Let's say it's a wind, this wind coming at me, and I'm resisting it, and I'm pushing back, and it's very painful, but the wind doesn't stop. But then I go, oh, there's a lot of wind, and the wind is coming at me, and I don't resist it, and I hold the wind as something to dance with, to do something with, because it is painful. And all of a sudden, I realize I can pick my shirt up, you know, over my face, and it hurts less, because it's the most exposed is my eyes and my nose. But I didn't think of that when I was resisting it.
I have a similar experience when I go swimming, and sometimes when I get out of the pool, I swim regularly. Some would say I swim irregularly, if you looked at some of the weird strokes that I do. When I get out of the pool, it's really cold, like if it's in the 40s or 50s. And I've noticed that when I resist, it's colder, and when I just allow it to hit me, it's not colder or not colder. It's just an experience that I'm having, and it becomes much more easy to accept.
Duh.
Speaking of duh, I want to invite Professor Umbridge. You got some stuff about duh. Do you ever run into duh? Duh? Do you ever run into duh? Of course, young man. Does all around me. There's little does and there's big does. And there's, as you pointed out, there's the wannabes. Ideally, as you progress through your experience and you're engaging with dilemmas, and as you're able to finesse the dilemma into something to your benefit, and hopefully even beyond your benefit, to the benefit of everything else, or at least a couple other things.
Then what happens?
Then you begin to go, aha, that's a duh. And I would, oh, you know, you just reminded me, Professor, I'm sorry to interrupt, but when I was a car hop in St. Louis, Missouri in the 1960s, one of those places where they called in their orders and then we went out and gave it to them. Of course, I'm not going to talk about the time I put the tray on the guy's car and had two chocolate milkshakes and it slipped. And they fell into his lap.
That was the beginning of your doofusism.
Duh. One night, I was in a especially good mood, and I was walking by this guy as I was going back to the restaurant to get another order. And I just felt very outgoing, and I said, can I do anything for you? How are you? Feeling very outreaching to him. Wasn't part of my job at all, normally.
To be gregarious.
More than that, boy, if I didn't get the biggest tip that night. And I realized, service, wow, that's a good thing. So more and more I do serve.
Service is the capital S that leads to two lines down it.
Duh. So being of service, as a matter of fact, I'm sorry, Professor, you had something else you wanted to say about it? But as a matter of fact, when people seek and yearn for and arrive at some level of certainty, it's a big stress valve is released, and the gas of all that inner pressure, some would call it the ego, since it's just kind of a constant spasm, is released, and there's such a sense of breath. Breath has come back into your life. So does the way we like to make them available is offer them with a free breath. There you have it. Thank you. I love that. Da plus free breath. That's a good thing. What do you think?
Duh. I think that having that exhalation, the sigh of relief. Somebody was talking about that just recently. I was allowed myself to sigh because something had ended, and it ended. Finally, after so much preparation, I could sigh.
Sigh. That's a great theme for one of our shows. We'll do a sigh one night. Instead of having a word, we'll just sigh.
For an hour. We'll sigh in different pitches. And different vocal cords. Different characters.
Here's a line by Teilhard de Chardin. I've been back into reading his Hymn of the Universe, which is just so soulfully delicious. He has this comment. What you saw gliding past like a world, behind the song and behind the color and behind the eye's glance, does not exist just here or there, but is a presence existing equally everywhere. A presence which, though it now seems vague to your feeble sight, will grow in clarity and depth. In this presence, all diversities and all impurities yearn to be melted away.
It's nice, isn't it? That's a duh for me. My own personal duh.
Yeah, it's a duh. It has a little lilt to it. Duh.
Your duh may have a lilt.
Yeah. How about you, listeners out there? Are you getting to have some duhs? Are you appreciating the does? Think about it for just a second, and let's just stop and be with this whole idea of grasping the obvious in this song called The Obvious.
By moonlight, we rise with the waking, knees not shaking, sharp been shaping up. Don't wait, dim breaking truth, ablazing, perfect phasing. Oh, taking it for the taking, for what's not bought is what's not made. And no, we will not take it, not the lie, we will not take it. All the future will be much better. And chains will be unfettered, and light still be shining above the tree line. No defeat when we join each other here. I heard it through the walls of the station. Steel and stone could not contain us. Beyond the bounds of a nation, steel and stone could not contain us.
One of the lyrics is, by the moonlight we'll rise with awakening, knees not shaking, sharp and shaping down, the dawn's raised and dim breaking, truth ablazing, perfect phase in. I heard it through the walls of the station, steel and stone could not contain us. Beyond the bounds of the nation, it's obvious.
Not shaking, sharp, been shaping dark. And the dawn's raised, the dim breaking, the truth ablazing, perfect phase. I heard it through the walls of the station, steel and stone cannot contain us. Beyond the bounds of the nation, steel and stone cannot contain us. La 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 la
That would be Elephant Revival singing The Obvious. It wasn't really obvious to me, actually, what he was saying. I wouldn't go duh to that song.
No, because he did a lot of dahs.
He did.
So I thought that was maybe a version of duh for him.
That would be silly. Uh-huh. But on that silly note, I know we have the rabbi here tonight who wanted to jump in here and talk about his version of duh. Good evening. Duh. It's like so many people, they come to me and they say, Rabbi, can it be a little better than it is? And I go, duh, of course it can be better. It depends on how much you want to hold on to and how much you want to let go.
Duh.
Do you let go of your criteria? Of course, I understand you've got pain, you've got pleasure. There are good criteria for what's going on. But as you mature, sometimes you find there's other criteria that you put in place that will give you different kinds of duhs. Now, there's the duh that's the shamas duh, and that's the duh that you say when you have the moment when the light interfaces with your person, your soul, and it's like you're saying to the universe, is it a good place? And the universe is saying back to you, duh. That's really good, Rabbi. The universe is responding to our question, I think I get it, about is this a good place to be? And the universe is basically going, duh. But I do have a question, though. What about all the really problematic and painful and disruptive phenomena that continue to plague us?
Duh?
We're not at duh yet. We're trying to find out.
Are you asking me a question? I thought you were asking the question of the rabbi.
Maybe you could both answer. What would be your answer?
I was talking to someone yesterday, and I said, when you know you're dealing with infants, you expect them to do a lot of things that they wouldn't do when they get grown up. Like they pound something, or they throw something on the floor. Our granddaughter likes to throw books on the floor, and she gets a thud. I don't know what pleasure she gets from it, but she does it a lot.
I have to say, I like it too. I throw books on the floor and get a thud, and I think it's genetic. Go ahead.
Well, the problematic thing is that when we don't consider others, wanting to be considered for ourselves, feel good, to feel that we have purpose, that we are really important or special or whatever, and we take that away from another person, it's because we don't really believe it. That is a sign of immaturity. So when I think of these people on this planet creating all these problems, I think of them as infants that are going amok. And now if we had an infant that was going amok, we'd put it in a corner. We'd make sure it was contained in a nice little crib so it wouldn't get out and throw books all over the floor or do whatever they do when you're an infant. But we don't know how to do that. We can kill people really good, but we don't know how to contain our virulent emotions.
That's right. We don't, because it's not an easy thing to do. You have these emotions. They are big energies. They rise up inside you, and they take you over. And part of the challenge of living and becoming a character of real substance, a mensch, if I could use that term, is to learn to master the emotions. That's part of the job of maturing and getting older, so that at a certain point, the emotion of fear or the emotion of anger that starts to raise its cute little head, you say, okay, I'm going to turn you into a duh. And you know how I'm going to do that? You say to the fear, you are nothing. Then you say,
duh.
And that's what you learn to think about the fear.
I have a way of doing that, Rabbi. It comes to the same result, but it's my method. I just put my arms around the fear and it melts into nothingness. That's how it becomes nothing for me.
Can become nothing, but one thing's for certain, no matter what you say.
Solomon once said, this too shall pass. Things that seem so certain are the ones that don't last. Now everything
That was Marianne Kellner singing One Thing's for Certain. You just don't know.
Duh.
She had some interesting things to say about that. You just don't know, and things change, and you think one thing's going to be this way, and your enemies become your friends. Speaking of being a car hop, they had an inside section with a few tables, this place called Schneidhardt's, suburb of St. Louis. One night, I'm serving this guy his food, and he's being real persnickety. And we start to get into a little rough exchange.
Persnickety?
Yeah.
That's
verbally.
Certainly not a word you hear too often.
Hasn't passed into the duh world. Anyway, he started getting threatening, and I said, okay, you want to do something about this? Typical stupid male kind of thing. And he said, yeah. I said, well, why don't you meet me after work? Okay, and then he said, okay, what time to get off work? And then he stood up, and he was about three times my height. I get off at work at 1, but I said to him, 2. Duh. What ended being interesting about the story where the surprise came in is he ended up working there as a car op. We got along just fine. We were just friends. It started off a little rough.
That's a funny story.
Well, listen, I've got something I wrote many years ago, and I want to run it by you and see if it gets a duh. Here we go. Whether painful or pleasurable, no moment is any more significant than any other.
Duh.
It's just a question of your level of commitment to the moment you're in. In other words, how embracing are you of the moment? How committed are you? Since that's it and the moment's only going to be the moment and it's just...
Got it. So it's a duh.
Okay, we have one duh. We're going for 2. Do I hear 2 duhs out there from you studio listeners? Yeah, I hear 2, 3. 3 from you. Give me a 4, okay? How about that? Give me 5.
5.
We got a 5.
I saw my granddaughter high-fiving her other grandmother. She said, give me 5. And this little hand reaches out to this grown-up's hand and hits it and laughs. And it's so adorable.
Well, we had an amazing conversation, she and I, the other night. she, I guess I want to say, kind of wagged her head. Would that be the way to describe it? She kind of shake it back and forth side to side.
Yeah.
And then I would shake mine back and forth from side to side. And she'd laugh.
Yeah, she loved watching you do it.
Of course, with the baby, that's the best audience in the world because you just keep doing it and they keep laughing. It's like perfect. Babies aren't hecklers, generally speaking. They're innocent still.
Yeah, they are innocent. They're not conceptualizing anything. They're just right there having a good time.
I want to invite the senator in. He hasn't been here for a couple of weeks, and I know you've got some does to tell us about, a senator. Well, thank you, Errol. It is just good to be here. This is Senator Beauregard. Well, I have a dub. Matter of fact, one of the does that I like was what you posted on your email announcement about this here program here. And you have a picture of the two of you standing there. It's very funny, very cute. She's got a very serious face, and your face is, well, whatever your face is when it's being, it's weird, your face.
Duh.
The little caption above her head says, the U.S. can never pay off the $18 trillion it owes. We're in a deep doo-doo. An Errol character in the photo says, duh.
Duh.
That's something that y'all learn to reckon with. I was talking to someone the other day who reminded me, there is no way that we can possibly keep going by piling up this debt. For one thing, it could come due. Your old universe master Visa people or whomever that has your debt. China, for example, MasterCard, Visa, and China all holding our debt. That's why I believe very strongly that people need to prepare. And of course, as you pointed out last week in your program, Rochelle, you said, we're not good at preparing. Till the thing hits us in the face, we just go about our business of avoiding pain and seeking pleasure. But for what it's worth, I would like to recommend, as I have before on this program, that we get back in touch with our mission statement in this here world, and our mission is to make...
You mean the United States?
Yes, of course. I mean the United States. And our mission is to become a more perfect union. The more we do that, the more the debt's going to come down. Because I would like to go on record as saying the debt represents a compiled fear mixed with a unbridled desire combined with a inability and unwillingness to take responsibility for what we are doing and choosing. Does that get a duh?
I had to think about it for a long time before I could come to a duh.
It's a slow-growing duh, then.
Well, is it applicable? Is it true? I mean, I don't know. It seems obvious, but I don't know. I mean, I've been in the same place that this country's been in. I have lost money and had to borrow it that I couldn't pay back. And the carpet was pulled on me as a result of it. Lost our home, lost a lot of things. That's what happened, and we are someplace else, living a serviceable life somewhere else. But I'm aware that there is the carpet pulling on debt. Of that, I am certain, and I can say duh.
Duh to debt.
Duh to debt that can't be paid back.
Listeners, this is Inside Out, the Naked Truth. We are sponsored by Go Raw, combination of food that is so good for you, at the same time tastes so good. Isn't that what every eater would ideally like to have?
Duh.
And someone stepping up, as Universe Spirit is, who is looking forward and saying, this future thing, as was pointed out in one of the lyrics in this her song, it's already in the past.
It's happening. It has not something that's coming. It's here.
To speak a little more about the duh, how about you, Father O'Malley? What can you tell us about the does? Well, sure, I've confronted a lot of does there. And when I'm serving the communion there, I look into people's faces, and their does are more of a question mark. Yeah, it's like, duh, duh? And they're kind of looking for me and for the Eucharist there to provide them with some kind of succor, which it does. But people need to remember that it's a symbolic rendezvous where we all agree to acknowledge this moment as a time where we partake of that which is most essential there. The proverbial dove. The duh that the universe is constantly looking at and saying, this is so there, this is reality, and it is love. You want to get to the place where someone will say to you, darling, this is all love here, no matter what it looks or feels like. And you'll say,
duh.
That's what we try to get to. And it's not an easy path there, and it's not for the faint of heart. It's for people who want to really step up and transcend, is the word I'd use there. Integrate and transcend. That's really the integral philosophy, is you integrate and you transcend. You engage, you hold together, and at the same time, it's a springboard to a greater level of expansiveness, which includes many more does.
That, for me, is such a reality that when I don't resist something and I come into union with it, there is more. And that more, of course, transcends what was. Otherwise, it couldn't become more. So I've had so many experiences of that in my life that I can say for certainty, duh.
Well, that can lead you to just being happy, can't it?
Joyous is even more wonderful.
One, two, three, come on.
How y'all feeling? Happy. Tell me how y'all feeling.
Happy.
We about to do this cause we happy,
happy, happy,
happy, happy. Hey, it might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Oh, sunshine, she said you're gonna take a break.
Hey.
Out in the lonely, we can go to space. Oh, no. With the air like I don't care, baby, but
what you wanna do.
Happy. You know I'm feeling happy. I'm happy, happy. Happy. You know I'm feeling
happy.
Yeah.
From the bad news, talking this name. Well, give me all you got and don't hold me. Now, I should probably warn you, I will be just fine. No offense to you, but don't waste your time. Cause I'm coming along if you feel like a room is not a room. Because I'm coming along if you feel like heaviness in the room. Hey, that's what you
want to
do.
Oh, that was fun. That was happy music.
That was Pentatonix again. That was a cover, though, for a song by Farrell. So you can listen to Farrell. And I'd like to say something about Pentatonix. I really recommend going online and watching them sing. They've got great videos on YouTube and a lot of them. Four guys and this girl, and she has what I would call a crooked smile. And it is so cute. And I realize what a crooked smile is. It's a combination of a smile and a wink.
Ah, you wink with your mouth?
Yeah, with your mouth. When it goes to the side, it's really winking. So you got to watch her sing and look for that winking smile. Because it's just so cute. And we love cute.
That's a dough. We love cute. That's why children survive.
Okay, here's one for the question. Is this a duh? Innocence is one of the top three things you need to cultivate in order to make yourself available to the juicy reality that's coming your way.
Duh. Innocence is something that we think we lose, never to get again. We may lose it, but we can get it again. Because when you're right in the moment, and you're not judging anything, you begin to return to innocence.
Duh.
It's a nice feeling, too. It's not that I have it 100% of the time, and I'm working towards that, of course, but I have it enough to know that it's so much better than resistance. It's so much better than being all over the place with my mind.
Here's one. Wrote this a few years ago. See what you can do with this. Forgiveness is everywhere you find a wall between you and love, and you just cast love upon it.
Oh, I like that. Duh. It got a duh.
Okay, well, here's another one. The quickest way to get from can't do to do is to do it together.
Well, we did that with opening our bed. We sleep on a futon. In the daytime, it's a couch, and in the nighttime, it's a bed, but we have to make it into the couch in the morning, and Errol was doing it by himself and straining. And all of a sudden, he got this idea that what would it be like if we did it together? And it really became easier for him.
Of course, we had to pick Rochelle off the floor and throw water all over her face and duh. Slap her silly to get her to come back. But hey, here's another one. Our job is to get our hearts open so that God can dump a bunch of love into our souls.
Oh, that's a sweet duh.
How about some bitter duhs? Like my father said to me, don't trust people.
I was told too, don't trust people, because trusting people is sort of like trusting a child with matches. But I was told, you don't have to trust people. All you have to do is love them. Because people are infantile for the most part.
You love stressing that. And she always looks at me when she does.
No matter
which way she's looking, she could be looking like across the street and she says, people, then she turns to me, are infantile.
Not true. So I'm not going to say duh about that. Because there are moments when he's not infantile.
I want to go back to this sentence about getting our hearts open so that God can dump a bunch of love into our souls, because it's a partnership. We and the ever-present origin, as it's sometimes called, it's holding the space of being so that we can be as we develop consciousness. as we develop the capacity for choice and recognizing the distinction between values. Our job is through this heart opening. No matter what happens, that's the innocence. As we move through life, to keep opening the heart, keep the heart open, because that's the entry point for the substance of existence to validate or allow to impress your experience into it so that it becomes a permanent part of who you are becoming. Oh, man. You, that was
a lot of words.
I know. I was like, I felt like I did brain damage to myself. Putting all those words together.
What I realized, we want this, and we want to embrace that which is abrasive, let's say, and then feel it, the softness between the abrasions. But we don't always do it with ourselves. Sometimes it's easier to do it toward another, to forgive them and to be open to love them no matter what they do. To look at ourselves and realize we're not perfect, we're not living up to our ideals or our philosophy or anything every second of the day. There's a lot of times we fall into what a friend of mine used to call potholes. When you're in the pothole, it's so easy to go into, oh, why didn't I see the pothole? What's wrong with me? I'm not okay. And we don't open our hearts to ourselves.
Duh. Hi, this is Barney, and I feel like I want to intercede here. Not that I'm in disagreement with you, but you've described a certain kind of people, the ones who are self-aware and self-conscious and probably struggle with their self-esteem. But there's a whole bunch of other folks here that I know and I deal with all the time that could give a shit about that kind of stuff, if you pardon my inversion of feces into a slang word that is often used to describe things that are abhorrent. But more about that later.
Duh.
They are projecting outward their hostility and their anger and their expectation, and they're slapping life around, and other people suffer because of them, and they can be cruel and they can be insensitive, and there's a lot of them. A lot of them is in charge of a lot of what's happening in the world. Why there's such a discrepancy between those who have it all, like this very tiny small percentage, 1%, they say, who's counting? And this rest of humanity that is not doing it. I read something the other day, like 38 families own as much as 60% of the rest of the world.
38 families.
Talk about skewing it in that direction. Talked about the debt earlier. I think there's a direct correlation between that 1% and the debt. And that's what's the difference. It's unreal, and they are clever and lucky enough to be able to ride this unreality to their own benefit, while in the meantime, everybody else is struggling along here, just trying to make not only ends meet, but have them meet the ends, both ways.
Barney, you did a hand gesture, which people listening to us can't see, but you took the 38 families and you made them higher. And you took the rest of us and made us lower. Part of the solution to this is not to have what the 38% has, but to realize this equality between that. That the 38% are just there doing what they're doing. But that 1%, if they knew that because they're not the 38%, they're just as special, things would change. That's what happens, is you think you're less because you don't have what the 38% has.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. I'm not sure that would get a real big duh out of me. It might get a pretend duh or a silent duh, even.
Well, you don't have to pretend to duh. You don't even have to agree with me.
I would like to remind us there that for a lot of people, until you are bumped into life in such a way that it challenges your assumptions about reality and projecting it on people, your misgivings about existence in such a way that you're trying to get rid of the pain and you put it on them. And as they say, most of cruelty is a result of a sense of self-righteousness, that you couldn't be cruel if you didn't feel that there was some righteousness in your way of doing things. These are factors that we all have to handle and acknowledge as we make our way toward this higher consciousness that you're talking about.
That sounds very odd to me. Self-righteousness
cruelty,
and
from
cruelty.
A right, In other words, you feel that you are right in being able to inflict this.
Oh, I thought your sense of self-righteousness causes you to inflict that pain.
Justifies it.
Justifies it.
And it does cause it in some respect. For example, during World War II, the Japanese couldn't understand how the American GIs could surrender. To them, it was all about honor. You went down dying. You don't surrender. So as a result of that, they held the American POWs in very low regard. So they felt justified in being able to be cruel to them because they were clearly of an inferior quality human being.
Because they surrendered.
So they were angry at them because they betrayed their value system, which was honor above all else. So that's what gets that cruelty thing going. Think about it for a minute. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Barney. Let's let our folks think about it while we listen to
spoken word. There's nobody to rely on. Unborn lies covering up the truth. So many promises gone by without a doubt, without.
Without a Doubt by Isbells.
Isbells?
Better is spelled correct, because if you don't, it's actually spelled I-S-B-E-L-L-S. Isbells. Boy, how about if your last name is Isbells? What are you ringing out today, Mr. Isbells?
Obviously, you rang out that song pretty good.
Some of the things he said in that song, without a doubt, without regret. No, I can't put up with that. I can't change the world with melodies, but I'll try. I'll try.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, without regret. That's a great place to be, to where you're going. No doubt, no regret. And you can say to yourself, duh, like, of course, no doubt, no regret. That's a state of faith.
And a state of certainty.
Certainty, yes.
Another word for it.
Duh. And we're certain that we are inside out, the naked truth.
Duh.
We are sponsored by Go Raw Natural Food, which is available where, Rochelle?
Oh, you can get it at Trader Joe's, Costco. I've seen it at Safeway.
And you can get it in our kitchen. But let us know when you're coming.
more than anything, you can go to goraw.com and find out where it's in your neighborhood.
And go to Universe Spirit and find out how you can get involved in this impending, already existent crisis, which is the climate change. Next week, I encourage you to see how many does you can come up with.
Through the week, not just next week.
Yeah.
From now until next week, okay?
Yeah. You can do this, and we'd be proud of you. We'd be able to say about that person out there, that's a fine person. Duh.
Duh.
So with that having been said, Rochelle, what do we need to be reminded of? We talked about it earlier. What you got?
Resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Duh.
So don't resist, baby. Duh.
Our co-sponsor for this program is Universe Spirit, providing education on Job 1 for humanity, climate restabilization.
Come visit universespirit.org and learn more about the great adaptive challenges and transformative evolutionary adventures of our future.